Good afternoon. So this afternoon I'm going to be talking to you about improving Vibrio parahumidicus case investigation and response in Massachusetts. So after telling you a little bit about what VP is, I want to describe to you our case investigation techniques and the number of cases we saw in 2013, how it spawned us to change our techniques and methods for 2014, and finally how those changes went into effect and how they impacted our year. So first off, what is Vibrio parahumidicus? It is a bacterium that naturally lives in coastal waters off the coast of the United States and causes gastrointestinal illness in humans. It's present in higher concentrations during the summer months and is commonly associated with consumption of shellfish, especially raw oysters. Illness results from ingestion of the bacteria. It usually occurs within 24 hours of ingestion and causes gastrointestinal illness, including watery diarrhea, abdominal cramps, nausea, vomiting, fever, and chills. It's self-limiting, not usually requiring antibiotics, and lasts about 3 days. Reporting a Vibrio infection in the United States occurs using the Cholera and Other Vibrio Illness Surveillance System, or COVIS. This system was initiated in 1988 by CDC and FDA in collaboration with the Gulf Coast states, and primarily consists of a 4-page report form, which collects clinical data, detailed history of seafood consumption, exposure to water and seafood drippings, as well as traceback information collected by a food protection program or environmental health colleagues. In Massachusetts, our case management system for all infectious diseases is called MAVEN, or the Massachusetts Virtual Epidemiologic Network. And for other states who might be using it, it's a Consilience product. So this system is a web-based system used by users at the state level, as well as our 351 local boards of health. And diseases entered, or diseases captured in the system, receive one of two designations, routine or immediate. Routine diseases, when they go into MAVEN, go into an electronic folder or workflow for follow-up by the local board of health. Immediate diseases, in contrast, send out an electronic page or email notification as soon as the case is created. These cases usually require require prompt follow-up within 24 hours. And those usually include things like botulism or typhoid fever. Most of the other enteric illnesses fall under routine case investigation. So here's how things went down in 2013. At that point in time, we didn't have a way at the state level to identify when a new case was created in MAVEN. They went into those local Board of Health workflows, but we had no way, except for searching periodically throughout the day in MAVEN. And we were doing this because we wanted to make sure that the COVIS form, in addition to the MAVEN question packages, were being completed. When a new case was created, we would contact the local Board of Health, explain to them that we would like for prompt follow-up to be completed with the case. We'd attach the COVIS event to the MAVEN question or to the MAVEN event. We'd put a note in MAVEN with our fax number so that they could send it to us when they were done. They'd then go ahead, complete investigation, fax it back to us. We would make a copy of it, walk it down 4 flights of stairs to our food protection program, redact it, scan it, and send it to CDC for reporting purposes. Our food protection program would then initiate their traceback investigation in conjunction with the local Board of Health inspectors. And eventually, once we got some cases going, they would compile traceback data, which kind of resembled the scene from A Beautiful Mind, because there was so much paper. It actually really resembled this picture from A Beautiful Mind. And then, a good deal later, once things settled down, our food protection program colleagues would complete the final page of the COVIS form with traceback data, and we'd finally go ahead and send that to CDC to finish our reporting. So here's a look at what we experienced in 2013. The gray bars represent the number of cases by week reported to the Department of Public Health. The blue and orange bars represent the week of seafood consumption. Blue bars are oyster consumption, and orange bars are other types of seafood. So on August 30th, we had a closure of 5 harvest areas. There was one additional harvest area closed on September 9th. These 6 areas were closed until October 5th. In addition, we also had a recall issued spanning back to July 22nd. So as you can see, due to difficulties aggregating this information, the closure and the recall ended up being more punitive than preventative. So some challenges. It was burdensome to identify new cases in Maven. We were using two surveillance systems, which was really inefficient. It was cumbersome to share information between programs, as much as we love going up and downstairs and seeing our colleagues. Things could be better. And finally, it was difficult to aggregate data, which delayed public health action. So going into 2014, we knew we needed to make some changes, and these changes fell into two main categories. We needed to better manage information, and we needed to improve communication within bureaus at the Department of Public Health. And these were achieved by making changes to Maven and by establishing a Vibrio working group. So first off, we changed the disease type in Maven from a routine event to an immediate event just for the Vibrio season between May 1st and October 31st. Next, we made sure that all those COVID variables were incorporated into Maven. So Maven is usually used by epidemiologists and individuals conducting case investigation, but for this, we actually decided to get our food protection program colleagues on board and built them a traceback question package to enter the traceback data that they're collecting. So here is page 4 of the COBIS form, which is where traceback information is entered. We spent a lot of time looking at this and trying to figure out how to build a question package to best capture the collection of multiple harvester tags or multiple seafood exposures, and how to make this the most useful to our colleagues in food protection. And we ended up building a system built around a harvester tag. So here's an example of a harvester tag, and we made sure that all the key components of that tag are incorporated in the system, including dealer name, certification number, original shipper certification number, harvest date, and harvest location. In addition, you'll see that there's questions on if inspections were done at the distributor level as well as the retail level and when those occurred. There's information on the implicated food item to make sure that that tag information is associated with the correct actual seafood exposure. And finally, questions about the physical characteristics of the harvest area were also included. All of this information would be captured for one harvester tag for a single seafood exposure. So if multiple harvester tags were collected for one exposure or people had more than one seafood exposure, all of this would be repeatable and they could enter it multiple times. Implementing these changes required some work. First of all, we developed protocols for our epidemiology program. Now that there was an immediate disease, if the local board of health wasn't available for follow-up, an epidemiologist of the state health department would be doing that case interview. We also developed protocols for our food protection program, and that was done through a joint SOP or protocol so that we knew what the other one was doing. We sent out an e-postcard to our local boards of health, letting them know of the changes. And finally, we had a bunch of trainings. We had a webinar for local boards of health explaining to them the changes, the importance of them, and basically what to make sure to ask when you're interviewing a case for Vibrio. Training for epidemiologists, as well as training for food protection. So the second component was the establishment of a Vibrio working group, and this was led by our Bureau of Environmental Health. So the first meeting occurred on April 15, 2014, right before the start of our season, and it was scheduled after already existing twice-monthly working group on foodborne illness control meetings, which have been in place for over 25 years. So Vibrio involves a lot of key players. There's us, or my group, in the epidemiology program. We receive our federal oversight from CDC, follow the guidance in the COVID system, and we're responsible for ill people. We work closely with our Board of Health public health nurses. Our colleagues in our food protection program and environmental health receive guidance from the Food and Drug Administration. Their guidance documentation is both COVIS as well as the National Shellfish Sanitation Program. They work with inspectors and are responsible for retail and wholesale inspections. And finally, we have our colleagues in the Division of Marine Fisheries who are responsible for harvesters and growing areas. They work closely, or their regulations are enforced by the Office of Law Enforcement. And all of the information that's collected kind of flows down. So that single case interview, the information kind of spans far and wide. And it was really great having members from all these different organizations in one room to discuss cases together. So how did things go in 2014? This is the same flow diagram I showed before, but here's all the steps we were able to remove by incorporating those COVID variables in Maven. Similarly, we were able to eliminate the scene from A Beautiful Mind, and instead we were able to extract data from Maven, quickly analyze it, and spit out data to inform public health action. Finally, since the traceback data as well as the epidemiologic data was all in one system, we were able to extract that data and submit it to CDC for reporting purposes. So this graph is kept at the same scale as that of 2013, and now that we were all geared up to deal with lots of cases, we had half as many cases. So much fewer cases, the same deal with this graph. We did have one precautionary closure that started on September 3rd and lasted just a week. And I kind of feel like we just wanted to do something because we were so geared up. So in summary, the changes that were made resulted in more timely case investigation and public health response. We increased our knowledge and awareness of the bureaus involved within our own department as well as with our local Board of Health counterparts, and they therefore were able to educate cases. And again, improved communication between state bureaus as well as state and local health departments. Moving forward, we're hoping to continue to improve communication among members of our Vibrio working group. In 2014, I think we were so excited to get together. Our meetings would often last like 2.5 to 3 hours, and we're hoping to kind of get those to a more manageable, 2 hours maybe. We also want to improve the timeliness of entry of traceback data in Maven. While epidemiologists have been using Maven for years, our food protection colleagues were new to it, and therefore when things got tough and they got stressed, they stopped entering information. And finally, we're hoping to continue to improve Maven for use by food protection to make it as useful for them as possible. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Dale Moore, CDC. I was curious about the drop in cases in 2014 and whether any control measures have been implemented. I'm asking because Japan, who has lots of Vibrio illness from 1998 through 2012, basically had a 99-fold decrease in cases and 93-fold decrease in outbreaks by doing a simple thing of having ice on board when they pulled the oysters and the clams from the water. And I've heard that I think Connecticut and New York did something in pilot, small little studies, had a 50% reduction in very small areas. So was anything like that being done in Massachusetts? Because it seems like some people are starting to realize that just by putting ice on board could have a huge effect. So was anybody in Massachusetts doing something like that?
Yeah, so our Bureau of Environmental Health and Division of Marine Fisheries made a lot of changes to our Vibrio control plan, and I can't speak too much to it, but I know that one of the major changes was our definition of adequate icing time, what type of ice. There were many discussions about type of ice. So I think there was a lot of that. I think they also had a much greater presence out at Harvester at growing areas and in interviews with harvesters to make sure that the Vibrio control plan was understood and being followed. But unfortunately, I can't speak too much more to it.
Well, it'd be great if you could find out if they did do something and take some credit for. Well, I mean,
I think it's the Vibrio working group.
Or whether to actually document this.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I'm Linda Inoue. I'm with King County, Washington, so we have similar issues, I think.
Mm-hmm.
My question is, what happens if the case is not your jurisdiction, so it's outside, like the oysters were either from outside of Massachusetts, or say, we have a Washington resident who got sick from Massachusetts oysters. How does that information get shared?
Sure. So if a case, I guess, seeks medical attention in Massachusetts, and we would just do the interstate notification, let you guys know the information and say, hey, please let us know if you find out if they consumed oysters or seafood while in our state. Cases that are reported to us from out of state that consumed shellfish or seafood in Massachusetts, we do the same type of traceback investigation and discuss them in working group and basically do the same thing we would do with a Massachusetts resident. Thank you.